We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Good morning, Lee Rogers.
Good morning, Tara Zavacious.
Okay, well, you're having a good day. Taking a look at your bracket. You're kicking your humble host rear end.
No. No,
did you know? You didn't?
Actually,
you haven't seen?
I have not been able to access it. I forgot where I hid the the URL there, and so I've got to find it. I wasn't even aware. I knew I got the Wofford game right.
Yes, you did. We were talking about that yesterday. Was it Wofford that you went all in on Wofford?
Yes. Yeah. And in fact, I've got them over Kentucky, and I know that's a stretch, but I'm pulling for them. I want the Terriers, the underdog, to be the top dog here.
Well, I don't know if you are aware of this, but, you know, you can go online and see how all your favorite, you know, Entercom talk show hosts are doing. And you, Lee Rogers, are tied with Matt Mann for number one right now with 28 points.
Well, it won't last long, I'm sure. Yes. But anyway, I will revel in it while I can.
Beating out former sports guy Lonzo, right? Used to do a sports broadcast here.
Yeah.
Beating out Fat Boy, Money Penny, Twisted Todd, all of these very strange people we have working here. Nobody has.
But they're very nice people.
No, well, you know they are. But you know what's so funny is you work here, you call people their you know on air name for years, and then you find out that's not their name.
Yeah, well, you know, that happens around here.
Yeah. Anyway, but you know, so yeah, you're weighing in with 28 points, and you're rocking it. You're at the top of the board here. I am still beating, I mean, for the record, okay,
yes.
Bobby Mack and Vince.
Well, there you go.
So I just thought I would note that this morning. That could change at any moment.
Yes.
But I am getting my rear end kicked. And the reason I am aware of all this and you are not is because when I make fun of the rest of the building about how I beat them every year and then I don't beat them, they're all sure to email me and point out I'm not
really?
Beating them.
Oh, really?
Yes. So I was made well aware of what the bracket challenge celebrity picks board looks like this morning. Was brought to my attention.
The tournament is still young.
It is. It is, right? So I could come back, right? I could recover, right? You think?
Yeah, it's possible.
Yeah, possible. All right.
unless your picks for the championship game have already been eliminated. Then you're in trouble.
Yeah, then you're in trouble. All right, well, we'll see how I do. Meanwhile, I don't know what it is with lottery luck around these parts.
Yeah.
You see this $2 million Powerball lottery ticket sold at the Malden store.
Wow.
Okay, my husband has developed an obsession with this. He has, because he feels that he was robbed. Because, you know, that huge, huge, huge win,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, the $1.5 billion, yeah.
Yes, that gas station was our gas station. Was right outside of our neighborhood. Like, literally, you could walk there.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he feels like the money was right there and we didn't grab it. You know, like, it doesn't work that way, honey.
No,
you know, it doesn't. And so now he is obsessed, and so he will tape lottery ticket money to my, like, driver's wheel, you know what I mean, so I can remember to go drive, because he feels that I am luckier than him, and I should buy the tickets.
You are his lady luck.
Maybe. I don't know, and so I don't care about these things. To me, it feels like gambling. I hate gambling. I just don't like it. I feel like it's throwing away money, and I'm so cheap. I hate to throw any money away, but so I have to make him happy. So I went the other day, and I screwed up. I was like, I can't remember. What am I buying? Okay, like, now it was Mega Millions. That's it. That's what I'm buying. So I bought that, right? That was on Thursday, you know, when they had the huge total. No, I was supposed to buy Powerball.
Right, yeah.
I bought Mega Millions. Yeah. Screwed that up.
Yeah, well, they usually have a little sign out there outside as you go in that'll tell you what the current, you know, jackpot is for each of the individual things with the South Carolina Education Lottery. And, of course, we're doing Powerball and Mega Millions.
Right. It's all the same to me. I don't care. Yeah, so I just plunked the money down, and I was like, you know, give me the lottery tickets. Yeah. And that's what he gave me. I don't even want to buy these things. But my husband calls me, have you bought them yet?
Well, apparently,
we're not going to win.
Apparently, there were $3 million winners from Wednesday night in South Carolina, and two of those were $2 million because I think there's, what do they call it,
power up option
or something or other, which doubles the money. So we've got three new millionaires in South Carolina.
Yeah, and so I sent this to my husband this morning that the $2 million Powerball lottery ticket was sold at the Malden store. I haven't been in Malden recently, so there was no way I was going to win that.
Yeah.
So, well, yeah, this is the same guy who tells me when I get on an airplane and I practically, you know, have a PTSD when I get on. I am terrified of heights, absolutely just terrified. And he'll tell me the plane's not going down. Not at all. Look, you've got a 1 in 293 million chance. It's not going down.
Yeah.
The same guy who tells me, go buy lottery tickets. You've got a 1 in 293 million chance.
Yeah,
I'm like, honey, this is the argument you use to get me on a plane, that it's not going down. We're not going to win.
So you have pre-flight traumatic syndrome?
I do. You know what? I'm fine while we're on the ground. I am totally fine. I am absolutely petrified of heights. I mean, like, to the point of, like, I have trouble breathing. I get dizzy and I have to sit down.
Well, you're talking to the guy that last year made one of my bucket list flights. I flew on a B-17.
Oh, cool.
World War II bomber that was older than me. And one of the greatest experience, one of the things I've always wanted to do. Now, if I can just get that flight on the P-51 Mustang, I'll be done. So
yeah, and round that out with a flight on a 737. If you survive, everything will be
now,
great, right?
I'm not going to go there because I've got a lot of faith in Boeing. I know they're in a situation now, and you know it's possible that they may have gotten themselves into this, but there's still a lot more that needs to be determined about those things. I'm turned serious here, but I get
no,
your point.
The problem is they were built in Washington, not here. So,
yeah.
There you go. Right. So, but anyway, yeah. So moving on about the whole thing. Okay, did you see this? People are just blowing up over this. I am too. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, right? A quote, an entire generation. Did you see what she said? She's on the cover of Time, by the way. She hasn't even been in office for 3 months or 6 months. She hasn't even been in office for 6 months. She has. Okay. Here's what she said. She's talking about why she's a democratic socialist. An entire generation, which is now becoming one of the largest electorates in America, came of age and never saw American prosperity. I have never seen that or experienced that really in my adult life, she wrote.
Well, that's an out falsehood.
It is.
And I'll be honest with you. I would say that some of the folks with the Obama administration would argue with her about that. How old is she? She's, what, 29. So, let's see. That would put her back during Clinton administration, too, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, but let me read this for a second. Because, okay, the way this is written in Time magazine is so absurd. Listen to this. She was born. This is what Time's definition of a working class family is, as it pertains to AOC. She was born into a working class family in the Parkchester section of the Bronx. Her dad owned a small architecture company. That's working class now?
Yeah, apparently so.
He's not just an architect with a college degree to be an architect. He owns the company?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's suffering in America. That is suffering in America. It must have been so hard for her. Okay, her dad owned a small architecture company. Her Puerto Rico-born mother cleaned houses. No, I know her story. Her Puerto Rico-born mother did not clean houses until after her father died. And that's because, guess what? Dave Ramsey'd be all over this. He didn't leave a life insurance policy or any significant kind of savings. That's on him. That's not on the capitalistic system.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they put those two things together. They don't even work. Okay. And here's the thing that kills me. They were deeply rooted in the neighborhood, but also wary of its limitations. And it goes on to say, the family moved to the prosperous Westchester County suburb of Yorktown Heights when she was about 5 or so, so she and her brother could go to better schools. Well, of course they moved to the prosperous suburb. Their dad could afford it. He owned an architecture company.
Yeah.
Where is the suffering here?
Yeah.
Now, hold on. I know exactly the area of Westchester County she is speaking of because my mother grew up there. She lived in the part of Westchester County that was truly actually on the wrong side of the tracks. My mother was very poor growing up. Westchester County, despite the very small section my mother lived in, which was poor, was phenomenally wealthy. Westchester is a desired county. You want to, if you come from that area, you do not say that you're from Yorktown Heights. You say you're from Westchester. It's an automatic. It's a status symbol just to be able to say you're from Westchester. And my mom all her life has, you know, with other New Yorkers who know, has had to correct them. No, I lived in this very small section that was very poor. Otherwise, people who, when you say you're from Westchester, people assume you're wealthy. And that section my mom grew up in isn't even there anymore because of the value of the land. So when you say Westchester, I'm like, what? What? I mean, if you don't know Westchester, you're like, you're what? Owned an architecture company? Are you kidding me? You've never known prosperity? So we have to turn now to Democrat socialism, take extreme measures? What?
And, of course, where is mom now after she retired, moved to Florida?
That's the best part.
Yes, exactly. Where there's no state income tax.
Part. Yeah, she says she couldn't afford New York. Well, understandably, if you're in Westchester County, good God, nobody can. And so she moves to one of the reddest counties, went 60% for Trump in Florida, right? I looked this up. That's how I know this. All the elected officials are Republican. That's how red that county is. And she's like, oh, dude, I totally can afford my $800 a year tax bill now. Or I think it was $600. Well, of course, honey. Conservative Republicans are running your county now. Don't you love that? Run away from the mess they made and then want to tell everybody else how to live.
There you go.
That's them, man, Westchester County. Suffering in Westchester County. I'd love to know how you do that. to the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line. I love this. Text me your thoughts. To 71307, texter writes, if I win the lottery, the only person that will ever know is Scarlett Johansson. Oh, I love you guys. You're nuts. That's why I love you. All right. Jim is on the line. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Tara. Thank you for taking my call so early. I appreciate you.
Sure. What's on your mind?
Okay. So I was listening to the news at the top of the hour for our wonderful Lee Rogers, Greenville's anchorman. And I am totally blown away by something he said. So, and it made me think that if you look in the dictionary under the word hypocrite, you will see the Democratic Party. Now they are concerned with somebody deleting emails.
Oh, you're talking about Ivanka's emails and Jared's emails,
yeah,
right?
Now they're concerned. They're like, oh, we need to investigate. She's like, emails like, hello. And yes, my name is Jim and Greer. Hillary, come get me. We need to investigate Hillary's emails, too.
You know what, Jim? I wouldn't tempt her to come get you. That's playing with fire. I wouldn't do that. You know what I mean? That famous last words, right?
Famous last words. I'm just saying, come get me. I'm here.
Okay. Yeah, no, you're referring to the fact that I think Jared Kushner and some other members of the Trump administration have been caught sending emails over, I think, an app and some other private email accounts and that kind of thing, right?
Yep. So I think it's time that we need to reopen Hillary's investigation too while they're at it. But they won't, because they won't do that.
No, they won't. And you know, okay, and I will say this: whether Hillary is doing it or Jared Kushner is doing it, it is very serious for folks to use private means to send emails. It sounds like not a big deal. Who, you know, what do we care? It's just Hillary's emails, right? That's what the left told us. Yeah. Well, here's the thing: it is a big deal. Because they're doing our business, and we have a right to see what is transacted when you're working for the people, and that is the heart of FOIA law. And so what used to be, you know, when I started as a reporter, everything was sent in memos. And so you would go put the FOIA in for the memo. I've done probably hundreds of FOIA requests over my journalism career, and you get the memos. And we've gone to, you know, folks are aware. I mean, I have gone to court to get stuff before to sue for it. You have a right to that information in this country. And so when email came along, nobody was sending memos anymore and walking them down a couple floors. They were, emailing. And the laws apply to the email, too. You have to preserve it. You are doing the public's business. That's why what Hillary did was such a big deal. And she just completely blew off and totally disregarded FOIA laws. We need to know what is being done in our name. We need to know if it was a crime. So it's a big deal when Jared does it. It's a big deal when Hillary does it. Hillary compounded that by sending classified stuff, which we still should be able to access under FOIA, either redacted or in the future when it's declassified, to know how the, you know, business of this country was done. Congress ought to be able to get it if they have a security clearance. Absolutely critical for oversight. I mean, I can't tell you how important it is. And in the process of sending classified stuff over private email, she took the risk that it would leak, even continued sending it even after the FBI warned her, hey, you know, your server's unsecure. You got, you know, foreign powers watching what you're sending, top secret classified stuff. She didn't care. And we were told, oh, come on, it's just emails. Nobody cares. It's ridiculous. But let Ivanka or Jared do it. Oh, my gosh. End of the world. Texter writes, nice touch. You and Lee talking about airplanes and airplane rides. Then your bump tune music, Jet Airliner by Steve Miller. That is not an accident. We consider bump tunes an art form here. And I must say, producer Matt filling in for producer Chris while he's on his paternity leave. Because poor Chris is exhausted after fathering 3 children in 4 years. Totally understandable. We've been calling him Reproducer Chris, by the way, around the office. So, you know, when he gets back in, those of you who listen to his radio show on the weekend, the Upstate Pulse. Do me a favor. Give him a hard time. Start calling him Reproducer Chris. Just for a little while. We're not going to let it stick or anything. But no. So he is exhausted. I mean, 3 kids in 4 years. That is a high rate of production. So he had to take a break. Highly encouraged by your humble host. And so Matt is filling in. And Matt is doing a fantastic job. Thank you, Matt, in there. And he has... I didn't think anybody could continue in the footsteps of Producer Chris and elevate the Bump Tunes to an art form. But Matt is giving him a run for his money. And Chris going to want to get back in here sooner. Somebody's going to start to appreciate Matt. 800-347-1063. Text line 71307. Texter writes, would love to know your opinion on Jordan Peterson's book, 12 Rules for Life, being banned in New Zealand after the shooting. Yeah, we're going to get into that. We're going to get into all of that today. So much stuff to get into. Gee, you know, isn't it ironic? Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, again, whose father not only was an architect, but owned an architecture firm. So she's never known prosperity in her life, yet grew up in Westchester County. What? And so all right, we're going to get into this coming up next.
Deputy Sheriff Ryan Thompson of Kittitas County became the first officer killed in the line of duty this year from the state of Washington. Thompson was fatally shot and killed while attempting to stop a man evading a traffic stop. ICE now confirming that that man was here legally in the U.S., issuing this statement. This tragic death taking a toll on the community.
It's like a nuclear bomb going off. It just destroyed a part of our hearts and our lives.
Yeah, Washington doesn't care. No, they don't care. Now, when this kind of stuff happens, it's easy to get angry. But where should we direct our blame? Where should it go? Well, let's look into the background of the latest illegal immigrant. We do this every day now, folks. Do we not? We do it every day. Sometimes twice a day on the show. Who did the illegal immigrants kill now? Who the heck is in this country? It's always a long history with them. Of failure that was easily preventable had Washington not gotten in the way to have this one happen. Well, let's go back. Who did it? 29-year-old Juan Manuel Flores del Toro, a Mexican citizen who had no damn business being in this country, entered the U.S. at Laredo, Texas in April 2014 on a temporary agricultural worker visa. Okay, everything's fine there, but then what? I just didn't bother to go home. Which is how about 43% of illegal immigrants wind up here. They just blow off their visas. Well, there's nothing we can do about it. Actually, there is. Congress has passed not once, not twice, but 3 times a visa exit system. It is not hard to implement. We will know immediately if we had such a system to track illegal immigrants if they left. So we would know who was deportable and who was in this country. They then should be rounded up and sent home. Could even throw in some prison time. Make sure people leave when they're supposed to. These are easily solvable problems, but to solve the problem, you have to have a workable visa exit system. We have no idea who's gone home. Congress, again, passed it 3 times, starting in the Clinton administration and again under the Bush folks, and funded it. Clinton didn't bother to build it. Neither did Bush. It cost 3,000 lives. Wait, what? Well, yeah, it cost 3,000 lives. Oh, no. See, no. This Washington State deputy, he's only the latest. You can put every name in the Twin Towers and at the Pentagon and in that field on the list of lives that was cost by the absolute stubborn refusal of Bill Clinton and George W. Bush to implement this system. Why? Because the 9/11 hijackers overstayed their visas. We didn't know it. Some of them went home after they'd overstayed their visas. That's against federal law. You're not supposed to be able to come back if you overstay your visa, but we didn't know. Since nobody ever bothered to implement the visa exit system, never mind that Congress funded it. God knows where that money went. I've never been able to figure it out. And so we then readmitted some of the 9/11 hijackers back into the country despite the fact that they had been visa overstays. Illegal immigrants. Their applications never would have been approved had we known that, but they couldn't be bothered, William Clinton and George W. Bush, to implement a visa exit system. Bush then put that off for years more after 9/11, despite the 9/11 Commission recommending the creation of a visa exit system. When it was finally built and briefly up and running, it was a disaster. So they pulled the plug on it shortly thereafter. We haven't had one since. That's on Trump now, too. He's been in office enough for a long enough time to have implemented this. He should have. And there you go. Granted, Trump didn't have funding from Congress to do that. It's yet another one of the things that could have been done and was part of an immigration bill supported by our own Jeff Duncan that could have been done, but it never passed Congress during the 2 years that the Republicans controlled Congress. So we have just yet another life taken by the stubborn refusal of Democrats and Republicans, starting with Bill Clinton, including George W. Bush, and now I guess you got to say Trump, to not build this thing. Although I don't blame Trump that much because it hasn't been funded in the modern era. Could have been by this Republican Congress. That's on Paul Ryan's shoulders. So I want to tell you where the blood comes from, because there's a real, this is not an unpreventable thing. But let's look at the cost of this policy. This policy gave us 9/11, 3,000 lives lost. Highly preventable. But the cost is so much more than that. See, because it doesn't count the lives lost when we had to go to Iraq and Afghanistan, kick some rear end. Guess what? Lives lost doubled once we did that. We spent, what, $2 trillion plus in those countries? Do you know what we could have done with that? All of it unnecessary. None of it had to happen. 9/11 was a massive illegal immigration system failure deliberately caused by Washington, by the failure to implement the visa exit system. And this poor deputy, who, by the way, is a young father of three, is 42. He's the most recent to pay with his life for the failure to implement this system. The cost to this country, folks, are running into the trillions, and that's just the cost of our foreign wars resulting from the disaster that is the absolute refusal of Washington to do anything mandated by Congress, and now Congress's refusal to do anything to fix this and protect American lives. It is insane. It is absolutely insane. Can you imagine this country had 9/11 never happened? Can you imagine how we not spent the trillions, all the lives lost? You've seen them in Walmart, in the grocery store. The men, sometimes the women with titanium legs. The lives shattered, the families ruined. My husband's whole former Marine unit, there ain't one of them that was right after 9/11. Every one of them paid. Every one of them who went lost a relationship 100%. Either an engagement, a marriage, a girlfriend, something, their lives are nobody's life is the same. This is the cost. This is the cost. It is massive. And he's only the most recent to pay. All right, at least somebody's calling him out, right? At least somebody is calling them out. Pence, our vice president, had something to say about what's going on in Atlanta right now, which I guess is refreshing. And I'll have that in just a minute. I don't know where it went. It was on here, darn it. At least calling the mayor of Atlanta out on sanctuary city policy. I don't know why I can't see that. That's really weird, but it's not here. Here it is. Okay, here we go.
Meanwhile, Vice President Pence taking a hard swipe at Atlanta's mayor, Keisha Lance Bottoms, after she terminated the city's partnership with ICE last year, saying it was a policy that, quote, intentionally inflicts misery. Listen.
It is amazing to think the mayor actually said that she would, in her words, not be complicit in an immigration policy that intentionally inflicts misery. Well, I would say to the mayor that criminal illegal immigrants, gang members on our streets are what inflict misery.
Mayor Bottoms barred the city from holding federal immigration detainees until ICE took custody of them before they hit the streets. And one other thing, just to give a little perspective, guys, this comes as CBP plans to release more illegal immigrants into Texas communities because the processing centers there are simply beyond capacity and they have no more space to hold them.
Oh, by the way, we're now releasing 1,000 a day because of judges' orders. Unfortunately, it's on the American side. 1,000 a day because we don't have the space to hold them. Judges have put arbitrary limits on our detention facilities and how many beds we could have. And then you remember the budget voted for by Paul Ryan and Tim Scott and Trey Gowdy and all those good people that limited detention beds further. Remember that? Yeah. So between judicial fiat, which forces us to release them on the American side so they can have a hearing, Congress and the rest, we are now releasing 1,000 a day into this country because we cannot hold them. They have run out of space. Oh, by the way, Beto, the fake Mexican, Beto O'Rourke, said this morning that the wall is a solution to a fake problem. Did you know, by the way, they released 500 arrests on the border in 5 minutes, the border that abuts his district? But it's totally fake other than that. It's totally fake. In a effort to relate to our younger would-be listeners, we're trying to connect with millennials. So here you go. Today's millennial moment.
And now, today's millennial moment. My parents keep getting on me about, when are you going to get a job? Hey, maybe I want to travel a little bit first. See the world. Okay, so I still live in my old room, but it is literally my room. That was today's millennial moment.
Still sleeping in the bed you grew up in? Heck, still sleeping in the bed. Are you still in the bed this morning? Well, get out. You're wasting your life. New survey found the average American spends 11 hours each day in bed. Who has time for that? You know what? Because we found out earlier this week, right, from Netflix that their average user watches 2 hours just of Netflix a day. God knows what else they're watching, right? Many must be doing it in bed to make all this work. I don't know how people have time to do this. Anyway, new survey found the average American spends 11 hours in bed each day, either sleeping or doing other stuff. And if you do the math, that means you'll spend a total of 36 years of your life in bed. That's like half of it. I can't figure out if that's a good thing or not. I am very happy when I'm in my bed. Are you not just chilling, doing nothing? Let's see. Life expectancy in the U.S. is now over 78 years, unless you get mowed down by an illegal immigrant. So if you do the math, that means the average American will spend a total of 36 years of their life in bed. That's just under half their life. Oh, if, you know, to live that long, right? All right. To the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307, texter writes, oh, this is a good one. Good morning, Tara. You know it's so hypocritical that our government is judging and blaming Boeing for the two crashes and the deaths involved, which is awful and should be held responsible if at fault. However, they can't even make laws and policies that would keep the illegals out that have killed many more by murder. Good point. No, it's worse than that. I played the audio for you. Don't call the Uniparty if your husband gets killed by an illegal. Remember, the poor woman in Florida called Rubio's office. They didn't want anything to do with her. Called Debbie Wasserman Schultz's office. They didn't want anything to do with her. Wouldn't return her phone calls. So don't call the Uniparty. They don't care. Now, if you are, you know, concerned about your Boeing jet, they'll talk to you all day long if you don't want to get on one or whatever. But, I mean, if you get your family member gets killed by an illegal immigrant, you are verboten. I mean, you have practically been depersoned. You don't count. Texter writes, I'm lucky to get 7 hours in bed. Yeah, me too. I sleep about six on a typical day. Texter writes, how can we start a movement to hold Congress accountable for things they do or don't do? Well, there is a movement like that. It's called elections. We have them every 2 years. We need to do a better job of figuring out who we're electing in the Republican primaries. 800-347-1063 is the Ingalls Advantage talk line, text line, Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307. All right, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is killing me this morning. No, she's killing me. She's on the cover of Time. Why? Dude, the woman didn't even do anything. I mean, look, it would be remarkable if a waitress had managed to win a congressional seat. That would be remarkable. I mean, just that, having run a statewide campaign myself, I could tell you how hard that is. How hard it is to fundraise, even after years of the candidate that I ran it for was a city council member, had connections, you know, had some fundraising ability. I mean, so, you know, it would be a big deal if she'd managed to pull it off. She didn't. I played the audio for you. She admits it. She responded to a casting call. They were looking for an actress to play a congresswoman, and she responded. Her brother Gabriel filled out her application for her. She didn't think she'd get it, and they picked her. And then one of George Soros's flunkies and some others raised the money. They had over $2 million for her. She didn't raise anything herself. And they put her in Congress. What? So what? But it's a big deal. She didn't do anything. She's on the cover of Time for doing nothing. We'll get into this coming up in a minute. Plus, what does it say, folks, that Trump has to sign an executive order to force the First Amendment back onto college campuses? It takes an executive order to do that. What does that say to you?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.